From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The teenager in a deadly shooting on campus in Sacramento has been identified. It happened at Natomas High on Friday, just as students were dismissed. 16-year-old Dejon Sledge was killed, a sophomore at Discovery High, which shares the same campus. In the days since the shooting, a 16-year-old as well as another juvenile have been arrested. But the district attorney will not be filing homicide charges, calling the shooting on campus an act of self-defense during an attempted robbery. As a criminal investigation continues, a school community is reeling from gun violence. The school district deployed a variety of resources and support on campus, from crisis counselors, chaplains, to mental health clinicians. But in heart-wrenching moments like these, community organizations also step up to help families feel supported during what often is a demanding time from local news outlets working to get the latest information. We're going to meet one of them today. Leah Schenk is the founder of Impact, a grassroots organization that has been a central voice since the school shooting. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
So before we dive into your role in the aftermath of the shooting at Natomas, tell us about your organization, Impact, with an E.
Yes,
E-M-P-A-C-T. Why did you create this local nonprofit back in 2018?
I had been doing the work as far as community work and answering the calls of community needs since I was a teenager. And so I've been doing this work all of my adult life. Forming it into a nonprofit was just to brand myself and just to give it more of a infrastructure and a framework to the work that we were doing. But the work has been going on for decades. And really, it's the call of community action. It's the calls that a lot of families don't usually get answered. And so we fill in the gaps and bridge the gaps for where we think those pieces are missing.
You have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. I mean, what experiences throughout your life drew you to this line of work?
Oh, gosh, so much. I do have a criminal justice degree. And, you know, my sister was killed by her husband, domestic violence. So that experience obviously thrusted me into becoming a domestic violence advocate, you know, to speak out against abuse and specifically abuse of women. I then had to raise her children, one of which was 6 when she passed away, and he developed grave mental illness. And for 12 years, we were almost like a house under siege, you know, with that. And so that thrusted me into that, to where now I understand what mental health is because it's a lived experience of mine. Every single thing that I advocate for is something that I have endured or been on the front line of at some point in my life. And so what I do is I try to be the voice of those that don't have a platform, those that will never be invited into spaces like this or even spaces, you know, within community, and speak for them when they really don't have a voice otherwise, whether it's ignored or whether it's just not preferred, but to amplify the voices of those that are marginalized.
And the name Impact with an E, you know, it's incorporating the word empathy, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. And that is a name. My aunt actually is the one that one day said to me, you know, you should be Impact because of empathy. And she named all these E words, and it just made sense. So it just clicked.
There's a lot of community organizations out there, advocacy organizations throughout Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you've been at this work now for, you know, decades.
Yes.
And you created this organization a little less than a decade ago. I guess what was missing out there in the community that you hoped Impact could provide?
Yes. Yeah, so one thing that I noticed within Sacramento County is the divide between North and South. I think a lot of people don't realize that if you're having events and giving services, like, say, in South Sacramento, you know, what about the communities that are in Folsom or Carmichael or Citrus Heights or North Highlands or Antelope? That's Sacramento County. And some people just forget about that, you know, so they weren't accessible. If people were doing things in the north, south doesn't come. If people were doing things in the south, north doesn't come. And so I wanted to bridge those two gaps so that all the resources that people have on any organization were accessible to all.
Well, let's move to what happened last week. There was a deadly shooting at Natomas High among teenagers, according to law enforcement. Our Cap Radio reporters have been reporting on that, and we have that information on our website. But in the immediate aftermath, you became the spokesperson for the family of 16-year-old Dejon Sledge, who was killed. How did you become connected and involved with the family?
I received a call that Friday, just maybe an hour after it happened, and I was asked to show up to the school to provide support just to the family and the students. After I was there for maybe a couple of hours, I received a direct call from a family member that said, we need you, and we need you here quick. I already knew that he had passed away. But I didn't want mom to be alone in that moment. No mom should have to be told something like that on a sidewalk and then expected to drive home like nothing happened. Overall, in our community, I just have noticed with different organizations and the structures of even schools and law enforcement, there's such a disconnect. It's almost like a heartless effect that I think we've become so desensitized to these things that we've almost normalized it. You know, we talk about people losing their lives like it's just like, you know, we're eating breakfast at their breakfast table like it's nothing. But it's not. It's huge. And this is a child, a 16-year-old child. I have a 16-year-old child at home, too, a son. And this is personal because my son is also 16. And he's a high schooler, not at that school, but he's a high schooler within Sacramento. And as a mom, as a community leader, it's just it's gut-wrenching to know that this child lost his life on a school campus and that other students and other staff had to be there to witness to it. And this is not the first child that we've lost in Sacramento that I've been frontline with. And it won't be the last, unfortunately. And so being called into this space is really to it's to add the heart to the work. And I call it advocacy with the heart. But it's to be able to route families to resources and guide them through something that I already know what they're going to go through. I already know the next steps, but they don't. So really for me, it's to be the light in the dark. I meet families in their darkest hour, in the worst day of their life. And when I meet these families, I don't know the loved one because I've never met them. And so I have a job and a task to bring real life solutions to real problems in real time. And that really is what advocacy is. And so that's really what I'm doing with this family and any other family that I've worked with and will in the future.
In the days since, there's been more information. Just yesterday, the district attorney announced that his office is not going to be filing homicide charges. And the 16-year-old and another juvenile were taken into custody. They'll receive charges for something other than a homicide. But he did call the shooting isolated and targeted. The teen who opened fire, in his words or in the office's words, were acting in self-defense during an attempted robbery. How have you come to understand what unfolded?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a fan of that decision at all. I think that it's too premature. I don't think that a full investigation has been done. I'm privy to some of the information, you know, privately within the family and then even within the school. And I think it's unfair that we put this information in great detail out for the public when these are children, they're minors. It almost sends a message like nobody should care anymore, or that maybe this family shouldn't get the help or support that they need, or that somehow he's deserving of his death, or that he somehow did something to cause his death. That's really the message that it sends, and that's dangerous. I think it sets a dangerous, dangerous precedence. There are children right now that are toting guns to school on a daily basis, and this almost gives them permission to do something like this in the future, because all I have to say is it was self-defense. And that right there is the message that it's sending. And it's reckless. I think it's irresponsible. I think it's dangerous. I think that they should have done a thorough investigation. They have not sat and talked to mom or dad at all. They have their own information that they'd like to give to law enforcement, and they haven't even been asked for it. Therefore, you have not done a full investigation. There are some of Dejan's friends that have not ever been asked anything. And so you can't say that you've done a thorough investigation when you haven't even asked the people closest to him about their side of things or what they know to be a fact, whether it's through social media contact or phone and electronic, you know, contact or anything like that. So it's disappointing for me. It really is.
I mean, you're asking people to go beyond reading a headline. What kind of conversations would you like to be taking place during this time, like within the community?
For one, gun violence and what gun violence is, we have to talk to our children about this. That, you know, we have an epidemic where children feel like they have to bring guns to school just to feel safe. That's a problem. That's a problem that it's our fault, that that's on us. We as adults have failed somewhere along the way, whether it's in parenting, whether it's in leadership, whether it's in school and admin, somewhere along the way, we have failed our children if they think that that's what they need, because it's our job to protect them. So somewhere they felt like we're not going to get the protection from the adults that are around us. We have to take protection in our own hands. Therefore, this is what we need to do in order to be safe. And that's scary. It's scary to think that these children had guns on the campus all day. This was the end of the school day. So this person who shot a weapon had that weapon at school all day. And that's scary because that's not the only student. This is only one school we're talking about. And in my experience in answering these crisis calls, all the school campuses, all the high schools have children that are coming to school bringing weapons. And that's scary.
What is your role in this in the weeks and months ahead?
To be here for the community, you know, how they want. I don't impose myself on anyone. This is not a clout chasing moment. This does not bring me any benefit at all. It doesn't make me feel good at all. It's really devastating. It's heartbreaking. It really is. I'm with mom every day, or today I've already spoken with her. And my heart just breaks for this family. It's another loss that we have. You know, he was a child, and there's another child that has been responsible for this. His life will never be the same. I think all around, this is just a sad occurrence. It's just sad. There's no winners in this. Nobody wins, you know. Nobody is going to feel better at the end of the day on any side of the families. You know, their lives are forever changed. Everybody involved, and everybody that had to witness this. So for me, it's being support. You know, I have been up at the school. We've done our walkthroughs. We've talked to teachers and staff and students, and it's to support them. It's also to support the community, those children that still don't feel safe going to school, that have not returned. It's supporting them as well. And so it's being here when families need us.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Leah Shank, the founder of Impact, a grassroots advocacy organization that has been a central voice since the school shooting at Natomas High last week. I want to move over to other issues that you're very passionate about. Just yesterday, you were at the Sacramento City Council meeting. You posted it on your Instagram page. Your organization received a 2026 resolution for Autism Acceptance Month.
Yes.
Why is this cause so close to your heart?
Yeah, so my son is diagnosed with autism. He was diagnosed at 18 months, and he's 16 now. And so this has been our life. And when my son was diagnosed, I did not know what to do. I was given his diagnosis, and I was sent on my way. They didn't give me a single resource, so I didn't know what to do past that day. And I had to teach myself. But along the way, I stumbled because I didn't know what I was doing, going into IEP settings, going into these schools, trying to get him, you know, acclimated into the school districts and things. And I did not know what my rights were. I didn't know what I was signing. I assumed everybody around me was doing what was best for my son. And my son, he suffered for that. And so I had to educate myself, and I had to learn it in a way to where I can be the best advocate that he needed. And so now what I do is I go into schools and I sit with other families for their IEP meetings, and I help advocate for their child, because I know what that feels like to walk into a room and there's 10, 12 people sitting around you. You don't understand any of the terminology. You don't know if it's right or wrong. You really don't even know what to ask for. You're just a mom or dad that just needs help, you know, and you don't know what that looks like or what to describe it as, you know. So for me, it's very, very personal, because for our communities, it's something that is either overdiagnosed or underdiagnosed, and the resources are very slim. I had to learn. I didn't even know what IEP stood for. I had to learn what Alta Regional was and all these services and occupational therapy, and I didn't know. And so now my son is doing very well. But in saying that, you know, when he was diagnosed, I was told that he would never talk, that he would never go to a regular school. I was told that he'd never ride a bike or play a sport or anything like that. And he's always been in general ed. He talks just fine. He actually just got his first job, and he's high functioning, but he's done every single thing that they said he would never do. And that is because of early intervention. And so I can't say that enough, that it's early intervention. That's because I was somebody that was steadfast and did not give up. And so that's what I want for other families.
It seems like your son taught you a lot also.
Yes, he did. He really, and he still does, you know? Yes, for sure.
What other services do you offer?
Oh, gosh. I have a Project Take is a huge initiative of mine, where it's a sex trafficking prevention program that we have. And I stumbled across that. You know, we search for missing children. And that was not something that I advertised. It just kind of fell in my lap. You know, years ago, people were calling me saying, hey, my daughter's gone. She's missing. She's not in her room, or she didn't come home from school. And here I was out searching for, you know, missing children. And one night I was out 2 o'clock in the morning looking for this young girl. And I stumbled across a Blade here in Sacramento that I didn't know existed. And that night we're on Stockton Boulevard in the Walmart parking lot. And I came across an 11-year-old child that was being sold. And that was the inception for me. When I left there that night, I promised her that I would never forget her. And I created Project Take, which is a curriculum where I go out and do trainings and workshops about the preventative measures, what parents need to know, what teachers and educators need to know, what law enforcement, medical professionals, politicians, and families and community need to know about this, and just how it's right in our backyard. You know, we drive down these major streets all the time. And we don't even know what's going on, you know, because we don't pay attention. We just, all of us are just so focused on where we have to go that we don't pay attention to these things. Often you see missing children come across your feed every single day and you don't think anything of it. You assume they're runaways or they're where they want to be, where it's not the case. In most cases, they're not missing. They've been taken. And so not only do I do my curriculum and workshop program, but I also have an outreach team. So we're out there at night, 3 to 4 nights a week. And we are helping to supply, you know, safety products to the girls. And we're out there just being a face, letting them know that you do have somebody that is here for you with nothing in return. We want nothing. There's no stigma. There's no judgment that when you are ready, we are here and we can get you back home. And so that's really something. That's a baby of mine that I'm really, really proud of, you know, because it's just developed into such a great. We've gotten already this calendar year, we've brought home 23 girls, minors. These are minors that we've been able to bring home so far just this calendar year. So every single year, it's more and more and more. We become more and more sophisticated on these things, you know, but also just teaching these young girls and boys too the dangers of social media, the dangers of the internet, because that's where it's coming from. You know, most of this is based on the internet. That's where the grooming takes place in most cases. So that's a really big initiative of ours. And then domestic violence is one huge of ours. Suicide prevention and awareness, bullying awareness, mental health awareness is another one. Gun violence awareness is another one. But we streamline these all year because we want to continue to hone in on these things so that not just youngsters, but the families are educated and they know what they need to do to keep their loved ones safe.
Leah, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Leah Shank is the founder of MPACT, a grassroots organization that has been a central voice since the deadly shooting at Natomas High School. Up next, with the primary fast approaching, we are diving into the race for Sacramento County District 1. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.